Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Bava Metzia Daf Mem Ches. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a specially marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage, and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked daf before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins 12 lines from the top of Daf Mem Ches. We continue with topics and ideas that we discussed in our previous shiurim. So, by all means, if you're a first-time listener, you should familiarize yourself with that material, so as not to be guilty of boring those that have been listening. We're not going to provide any lengthy introductions to topics that we have already been involved with. In our previous shiurim, we encountered a machlokes between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish as to whether money, the payment of money up front, has the power of clinching a deal, at least on a Torah level. We made reference to rabbinic enactments that may have changed that matter, changed the power of money to clinch a deal, but on a strictly Torah level, we saw Rabbi Yochanan holds that the payment of money is one of the forms of kinyan. It clinches a deal. When we speak of clinching a deal, we mean that there is no reversal, no backing out of the arrangement. Reish Lakish disagrees with Rabbi Yochanan and says that as far as the Torah is concerned, payment of money for portables, in contrast to real estate, does not clinch a deal. When you're trying to acquire a portable, metaltalin, you have to draw it, meshicha. Rava opens up today's Gemara, and you'll notice we have circled Rava's name, and in addition to that, a volcano shape appears, a trapezoid, and on the side of the Gemara, in the margin, we have our Nosei / Mivneh heading, one of the special features of the Shas Ozer, the marked Gemaras, where you see a trapezoid, and we've written Kra Umasniso Messiah Le L'Reish Lakish. We have a pasuk, a couple of psukim, that we'll read and show through them support to Reish Lakish, in addition to a Tanaic source that supports Reish Lakish, to the Midoraisa Nami Lo Kanu Mois Lehedyo, that when you're dealing with a transaction between commoners, as opposed to the Beis HaMikdash, when you're dealing with a transaction of involving commoners transferring ownership of portables, Reish Lakish tells you that Mois Einon Kanus, money does not clinch a deal. Another marking that you'll see is a double underline highlighting the word dichtiv, two psukim that have to be analyzed in the two psukim which exist in proximity of one another. And with that, we turn right to the Gemara text, Omar Rava, Kro Umasniso Messiah Le L'Reish Lakish, a pasuk, and later we'll see a Tanaic source support Reish Lakish's point of view that Mois Einon Kainois. It's worth, as is always the case with our marked Gemara and the marking system, to have a bird's eye view of the Gemara. Get a lay of the land. So do you see the trapezoid here highlighting the word craw? Do you notice where the next trapezoid appears? You can try to skim down the space between the Gemara and the Tosfos text. You'll see another one later highlighting the word masnisa. We just made reference to a pasuk that supports Reish Lakish. The pasuk or psukim in question are found in Vayikra Perek Chof, Perek He, pasuk Chof Aleph, and Chof Gimel, Beis and Chof Gimel. We have included these psukim on the side in the margin of the Gemara, and I think that even though it might appear a bit lengthy, it might be worth it to just familiarize ourselves with the psukim as they are before going into the Gemara text. The pasuk says in Vayikra Perek Hei Pasuk Chaf Aleph, and the context of the pasuk is one who stole or made off with someone else's money and swore falsely that he did not do so and then confessed, he has to bring a sacrifice as a result. That's called a shvua of kfiras mamon. He swears denying owing money. So now the pasuk says, and before we read the Gemara, we read the pesukim in the margin. Nefesh kisechto mualo mal bashem v'chichesh bamiso. The pasuk describes someone sinning against God and denying to his friend, bepikodon, o betsumesiado, begezel, o oshak es amiso, o motzo avedo v'chichesh ba. That's we're in pasuk of Beis. So far, we made reference to someone denying having an entrusted item, or he denies tsumes yad. What is meant by the term tsumes yad? Rashi says a loan. He denies having received a loan, or gezel. He denies having stolen something, or oshak es amiso, or oishik. Oishik is withholding schar sochir. Withholding workers' wages. And in the next pasuk, you see a reference to a denying having a lost item. That was in pasuk Chof Beis, or Motzo Avedo. And he, the Chicheshbon, he denied. The pasuk goes on to say, V'nishba al sheker, alachas mikola shiyase odom lachto behema. And he swore falsely regarding one of these things. V'hoyo ki echta v'yoshem, v'heshiv es Now notice, in Pasuk Chof Gimel, the Pasuk mentions that, well, once he is found to be guilty, he has to make a return. A return of what? Now, we didn't number off the points mentioned in Pasuk Chof Aleph and Chof Beis, but if you count up the points mentioned in Pasuk Chof Aleph, Chof Beis, You'll notice that there are 5 points if you include Aveda. In Pasuk Chof Aleph itself, there's a reference to 4 different items. So in Pasuk Aleph, you saw a denial of Pikadon, of Tzumas Yad, of Gezel, or Oishek. 4 points mentioned in Pasuk Chof Aleph alone. Now, Pasuk Chof Gimel deals with his need to pay up. After all, he lied in his denial of owing these things. Now he comes forward and has to pay up. So what does it say in Pasuk Avimel? Ve'eshiv es ha'gzeva asher gozal, o es ha'oishik asher oshak, these were mentioned earlier, o es ha'pikonon asher hofgar ito, es ha'aveda asher motza. Aveda was also mentioned earlier. Now if you look at this list carefully, you notice there's one thing that's missing from those things that were mentioned earlier. Do you see that there's no appearance of the expression Tzumes Yad? Pasuk Chof Dalet says, O mikol asher yishavol av l'sheker, v'shilam oisoi, b'roishoi, v'chulei, etc. Now, the Gemara. Kro, dichtiv. The Pasuk says, v'chichesh b'amisoi, v'psikodon o b'tzumes yad, man denies having received someone's article, is an entrusted item to watch, obetsumas yad, or he denied having received a loan. Now let us look immediately at Rashi as important information here. Just a couple lines up from here, tsumas yad, halva, a loan. The Omar of Chista, Rav Chista will tell us, kegoin, we'll see him in the Gemara very shortly. The borrower of the money, the one who received the loan, he identified or set aside a vessel. He set aside a vessel indicating that you can receive payment from this, that my loan will be paid up through this vessel. The ilu kofar b'halvo greitza lo mechayev korban shvua hayu v'nitno lo itza. If a person merely denied having received the loan without this additional element of having identified a vessel from which payment would be made, he would not have been obligated to bring the sacrifice that the psukim go on to refer to because his denial of having the loan is, it's reasonable in the sense that, well, when he received the loan money, he received it to spend it, so he doesn't have it. But adding this additional element of the vessel that was itemized, identified, reserved for the purpose of payback, so it makes the issue of the loan denial something, I would say, corporeal, something tangible, and hence it fits into the scheme of the other items mentioned in the pasuk, like the entrusted article, something that's tangible that you have, and you're denying that you received it from the owner. So that's as far as the first 2 points. We continue in our Gemara. O begezel, or he denies having stolen something. O oshak es amiso, he denies owing workers money. And now tsumes yad, regarding tsumes yad, which is a loan, omar afchisto, kagon shiyiched lo kli lahavoso. The borrower set aside, identified a vessel on behalf, to the benefit of the lender, that you will, if I don't pay you cash, you'll receive payment from this item. Oishek, we mentioned the withholding of a worker's wages. Omer of Chizkigon, Shiyifig lo, Kli lo Oshko, very similar to the case of Tsumes Yad, where the Balabayas, the hirer of the workers, indicated to them that you will receive your payment from this vessel. He identified a vessel from which they would receive payment. As we mentioned before, and Rashi mentions this, that if not for that, there would be no sacrificial obligation for the denial, for the financial denial, because it doesn't have the same characteristics of the pikadon, the gezel, and the aveda, the entrusted article, the stolen article, or the found item. So we want the cases of Tsumes Yad and Oshik to resemble the other examples of being denial of something physical, so that involves the person owing the money having identified or set aside a vessel from which payment would be made, and then now he's denying that. The Gemara goes on, V'chi ahadre kro, when the Pasuk goes on to speak about the need to return after he had admitted that he swore falsely. And what does the pasuk say? See, if it says v'hoyo ki echtav oshem v'heshives hagzela sher gozal, the numbering that you see here corresponds to the numbers we saw earlier. And the pasuk says he has to return the gzela, that was the item number 3 mentioned above. Os ha'oshik asher oshak, that was item number 4 that was mentioned earlier. Os ha'pikadon asher hofkad ito, that was point number 1 mentioned before. V'ilu tsumes yad lo ahadre. The issue of the Tsumes Yad was not mentioned again in this pasuk. In other words, there's no chiyuv to return that vessel that was identified as the means of payment for the loan. My kaimo, why is that the case? Why is there no obligation to return the vessel that had been reserved or identified as the means of payment for the loan? Lav mishum de mechzer meshicha? Is it not because, well, it was never drawn by the lender? The malva never made a kinyan on it. It's not like the stolen item that you have to return it, or the entrusted item that you received, you have to return it, or the lost item, well, you have to return that item. From this we therefore see that without having done meshicha on it, without having drawn it, you don't have a claim to it. This is exactly what Reish Lakish was pointing out. Omar le Rav Popo le Rava. We have a new marking, the triangles that you see, they're on the side, explained as a ma'akav, an attempt to keep track of a back and forth style Gemara. With the points facing up, they represent kushios, and the inverted represents tshuvos, quite responses. So Rav Papa says to Rava, Emo, may oshek hu the hodar kra. The case of oshek was, in fact, one of the points repeated in Pasuk Chof Gimel. And in the case of oshek, we saw that Rav Chisda pointed out a vessel had been set aside, reserved as their means of payment. It, too, appears to be lacking Mashiach, and nevertheless, there is an obligation to give back that vessel that had been reserved for their payment, for the workers' wages being paid. And if that be the case, then Reish Lakish doesn't have on what to rely, because here you have the example of an obligation to give something to the workers that they did not do Mashiachan. Answer. Hocha b'mayaskinan. In the case of Oshek, what are we talking about? What is the Pasuk referring to? Kegain shenotloi mimenu v'chozroi v'fkidu etzlo. The worker actually drew the vessel from the owner, and the worker returned it to the owner for safekeeping. So the case of Oshek is not similar to the case of Tsumes Yad and the vessel reserved for the loan being paid back. The Gemara asks, if that's your explanation of Oshek, Hainu Pikadon, but that's already mentioned in the Pasuk, the Pikadon, the entrusted item. Here the worker entrusted the item reserved for his payment in the domain of the Balabayas. The Gemara says, that's not a question. Trey, Gavni, Pikadon. There are two kinds of Pikadon. One where someone entrusts their own item by someone for safekeeping, and the other, the case of the Oshek. The Gemara asks, well, Ihachi, if that's your course of explanation, Tsumes Yad Nami, Lehadre, Velukme, why doesn't the Pasuk repeat or mention again Tsumes Yad in Pasuk Chof Gimel, where the Pasuk referred to the need to return items? And velukme and set it up kagon shenot lo heimenu v'chazer v'kido etzlo. Now, if Reish Lakish is correct, then that would have been the same scenario. That mashicha was done on that, just like you said in the case of the oshek, that mashicha was done on it, and so that here you have the lender had drawn the vessel and given it back to the borrower for safekeeping. The Gemara says, "E ahadre kra," had the pasuk repeated or mentioned again tsumes yad in pasuk chof gimel, and just like it mentioned oshek, lo tiyufta velo siata, there would have been no question necessarily on Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish would have said, well, it's talking about a case where it was drawn and that's why it has to be returned. And Rabbi Yochanan would say it's talking about a case where it wasn't drawn. So there would be no refutation to Reish Lakish, nor would there be any support. Hashtelo hadrikra misayalei. Now, however, that the Pasuk remained silent, did not make a repeat mention of Tsumes Yad in Pasuk Chof Gimel, and it did make mention of Oshek, we have a support for Reish Lakish. Rashi across from here says, Hashta deloa hadre misayale de mahadre lo Oshek upikodon vegezel vaveda veloa hadre le tsumasyat. From the fact that in Pasuk Chof Gimel you see a reference to all the other we'll call them forms of payment or debts, and it does not make reference to Tsumes Yad a second time. Iko lemelaf Tsumes Yad b'mechuser Mashicha va'oshek k'shemoshach. We now have a format and a basis for saying that they are different. That Tsumes Yad is a case where it was mechuser Mashicha. It wasn't drawn, and that's why there is no need to return that vessel that was identified by the borrower for payment, as opposed to the balabayas that identified a vessel for the worker payment. There it was drawn by the workers and re-entrusted. With that, we have a support to Reish Lakish. The Gemara asks, Utsumes Yad Lo Ahadre Kra, and regarding Tsumes Yad, it wasn't repeated. V'hatanya, Omar Rabbi Shimon, Minayin Litein Es Ha'omur Lamalo Lamato, from where do we know to apply that was that which was mentioned earlier in the latter part of the Psukim? We saw that in Pasuk Chof Dalet, where you have this inclusive expression that return must be made concerning anything that he happened to swear falsely. This inclusive Pasuk comes to include Tsumes Yad Lishavon, the obligation to return the Tsumes Yad, to return the loan. And we explained before, the idea of returning the loan involved the vessel that was reserved as a means of paying back the loan. If you're basing Reish Lakish's point on the absence of the repeat of Tsumes Yad, because there was no Mashiach, but Tsumes Yad was repeated in Pasuk Chof Dalet through the general phrase, the Gemara says, Behedya miha lo ahadre kra, in an explicit fashion, as opposed to the others, it was not repeated. And we look at Rashi across from here, Behedyo miha lo ahadre kra, shechayev la shivoi ulahavi korban, so that he should be required to return that item and bring a sacrifice. V'chihode rabi kra, when the pasuk does come to, it makes that inclusive expression, that would be only if that Tsumes Yad, the lender, had actually drawn the vessel and re-entrusted it to him. But in the absence of that, so then the lender would not have, or I should say the borrower would not have an obligation to pay up the loan with that particular vessel, and the being that the lender never made a kinyan on it, he never made did something, namely mishicha, that would have been a means of acquisition. So that in the absence of mishicha, you don't have a claim to that particular item. That is what Reish Lakish has been maintaining all along. Masnisa minolan, what's the Tanaic source that supports Reish Lakish? Desanya, Nosno le balon moal. A balon is a bathhouse attendant. He heats up the water for the customers, and he provides other services that are characteristic of a bathhouse experience. If a person gave a coin, a pruta, that was sanctified to the Beis HaMikdash, and he gave it to a bathhouse attendant, moal, even though he didn't bathe in the bathhouse yet, Rashi says, you are guilty of me'ilav, using sanctified items for your own personal benefit. V'omar Rav, Davka Balon, hu de lo mechser mashicha, the violation of me'ilah in the paying of the coin and the giving of the coin is restricted to the example of bathhouse attendant, where there isn't any item that you would draw. It's not lacking mashicha. Avamidi achrita, the mechaser mashicha, other services where there are vessels involved and the possibility of doing mashicha exists, and it wouldn't and it would not have yet taken place, but merely the money was paid, would not result in mi'ila. Lo mo'al, ad moshich. There would be no mi'ila until an actual drawing of the utensil takes place. What do we see from that? We see that in cases where mashicha is appropriate or can be done, the mere paying of the money is inconsequential. So even though you took sanctified funds and you gave it to some type of service provider, but in his service provision providing, he has vessels that the customer would be able to draw so as to clinch the deal or to create the obligation, the mere paying of the money up front would not have created an obligation. And in that sense, the sanctified funds are not viewed as having left the realm of hektish, the realm of sanctity. The Gemara asks, V'hotanya nos no l'sapor mo'al v'sapor ha'boy l'mimshach tispoiris. We have a source that says that if you gave sanctified funds to a barber has scissors, has combs, he has all kinds of implements. By giving him, the barber, money, sanctified monies, you're guilty of mila. You've created a bond, an obligation for him to render his services, even though there is what to draw. There are the scissors to draw. So from this we would see, contrary to what we were trying to prove, that the giving of the money does create a deal, does clinch obligations, contrary to Reish Lakish. So we'll answer for Reish Lakish. Hocha b'may askina b'saper nochri. We're talking about a Gentile barber. The lav bar meshicha, who the rules of meshicha, of drawing, are not said concerning Jew-Gentile relations. When it comes to the laws of meshicha, of drawing as a deal clincher, the pasuk says miyad amisecha. Amisecha means from your fellow Jew, and hence the case of nosel l'saper mo'al. That's a case where you gave the money to a Gentile barber. And with Gentiles, so the giving of the money is what clinches the deal, and hence if you used sanctified funds for that purpose, you're guilty of mi'ila, the violation of using holy funds for your own purposes. And when we say for your own purposes, it means that what you did had some consequence, as opposed to the case of the bathhouse attendant, where you gave him holy funds, but it had no consequence. In the case of the balan, it had consequence because there was nothing to draw. But in service providers where they have utensils that you can draw and you don't draw it, just by giving him the money, that doesn't create an obligation. Hence, there is no mi'ila. Tanya nami hochi. We have a point that takes a few lines to develop. We have a Tanaic source that supports our answer. Nosno l'sapor l'sapon o l'chol ba'le uminus lo mo'al ademoshach. If you gave the holy funds to a barber, or to a sapon. A sapon is someone who captains boats, or to all other service providers, and you gave them holy funds, you would not be moyel. There's no violation of mi'ila until ad moshach, until you draw the item. Kashyon ahadoti, then would it not appear that we have a contradiction between this source and the source three lines above, where we also dashed underline sapor? There, we said mo'al. Here it says lo mo'al ad moshach. Are they not contradictory? El olav. So it must be that the resolution of these two sources is kan besaper nochri, kan besaper Yisrael. The first source, what would be the Gentile barber, where there is the laws of meshicha don't apply, and the second case involves a saper Yisrael, a Jewish barber, where the possibility of Meshicha exists. And as long as it wasn't done, the mere giving of the holy funds doesn't create any obligation, and hence there's no Mi'ila. Shma Mino. This is conclusive. Now we have the word V'chein. We've pointed out in the past that at times the word V'chein could be tricky. V'chein, translated, mean and likewise such and such. When you say and likewise, it would appear to be a direct continuation of what was said just the line before. Not so over here, and that's why you can see we have a semicolon at the end of the previous line, so as to stop you from just continue running into this next line. Here it says v'chein omer of Nachman. Rav Nachman goes like Rabbi Yochanan, Devar Torah Mois Kainos, that from a Torah standpoint, the giving of money does create obligation, does clinch a deal, as opposed to Reish Lakish. Ubodka Levi b'masnise, and Levi, who is one of the authors of Brisa literature, he included this in his Brisa literature. That's Bodka Levi b'masnise v'ashkach, and it turns out that it says Nosno l'sitain mo'al, giving money, giving cash to a sitan. A sitan is a wholesaler of fruits and vegetables, giving him holy funds as payment for products, mo'al, that results in mila, even though you didn't draw all the mass of fruits for which you were paying the money. So what do we see? That even without the actual drawing, a deal is clinched. We continue at the top. Elokashia, at the top of Omid Beis, Elokashia l'Reish Lakish. This Tanaic source would then appear to be a problem, a difficulty for Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish was an Amora, and Levi authors Tanaic sources. So how does Reish Lakish deal with that? Omar Loch Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish will tell you how money, the source that Levi quoted, Reb Shimon, that's in accordance with Reb Shimon. Well, and we already saw in our previous shiurim that Reish Lakish, who says Moisein and Kynes, was not said within the Tanaic opinion of Rabbi Shimon. Reish Lakish acknowledges that according to the Tana, Rabbi Shimon, the payment of money clinches a deal. As we saw in the Mishnah, to the extent that once a purchaser of an item pays money to a vendor, to an owner of an item, that Lokeach cannot back out anymore, because the Tana, Rabbi Shimon, holds Mois Kainais. Avol Omru Mishepora V'chule. The source had told us that true paying money is not the deal clincher. Whether according to Rabbi Yochanan on a rabbinic level it's not a deal clincher, according to Reish Lakish on a Torah level it's not a deal clincher. That means, technically speaking, you can reverse, you can back out, even though you paid money for an item, it's a deal that can be reversed. However, that's not a right thing to do. And the Mishnah taught us that one who backs out after having paid is subject to a curse, referred to tersely or in an abbreviated fashion, we call Misha Pora. The entire text that you see in the Tanaic literature, Misha Pora Me'anshe Dorha Mabul Me'anshe Dorha Bloga, he who punished the members of the generation of the great flood of Noah's time, or the participants in the building of the Tower of Babel, he will seek retribution from those that do not keep their word. As far as the curse is concerned, that God will punish them, Itmar Abaye Omar Eldoye Modinon Le. We inform the individual that if you back out, you will be liable to punishment, heavenly punishment. Rava Omar Mela Laitina Le. Rava says, no, we go further than that. We actually curse him. We don't merely inform him that he will be liable to a curse, but we curse him. Abaye Omar Eldoye Modinon Le. We inform him that he will be liable to the curse of that we call the Misha Pora, Dichtiv, V'nosi B'amcha Loisor. The Pasuk says that one shall not curse a Nosi. So the Torah is opposed to cursing. So that Abai understands the mission to say that we don't curse him straight out, but we inform him that if he backs out, he will be subject to the curse. He will be punished. Rava Omar Mela Laitina Le Dichtiv. Rava says, no, we person who backs out from a deal, we curse him. Ah, you'll say the pasuk says, do not lo sor, do not curse. But it says in that pasuk, be'amcha, the venosi be'amcha, and we darshan that, be'oise ma'isamcha, where he behaves in a proper fashion, where he behaves as a Jew should behave, namely, he keeps his word. Once you see a person backing out, he's not behaving as a Jew is expected to behave. Omar Rova Mino Amino Law. From where do I know my point of view that we, if a person declares his, after paying money, says, I want to back out, from where do we know that we curse him? From the following incident, the Rav Chiya bar Yosef, Yahavu Le Zuzi Amilcha. Rav Chiya was a seller of salt. He received money for salt. L'soif Eiker Milcha. The price of salt went up. And as Rav Chiya bar Yosef received money for salt, before the delivery of the salt value went up. And Rav Chiya wanted to back out of the deal. Why deliver the salt at the low rate when if I can hold the salt, now market prices have gone up, I'll get more money for it later. Also, the Kamei de Rav Yochanan. The case came to Rav Yochanan. Omar lay, Rav Yochanan said, Zeal, have luhu, give the customers their salt, the elo, and if you don't, kabil alech mishapora, then accept upon yourself the curse. The Yamr Zedei Medina Lay, if you're going to take the approach that Abai said, that we merely inform the one reversing that he will be subject to a curse, Reb Chiya Bar Yosef Bar Adai, is Reb Chiya Bar Yosef someone who needs to be informed? He's a Torah scholar. He knows. He knows that on his own. We don't have to provide him with that information. Ve'alomai, so what do you want to say? What do you want to say from here, from this story? Meilat Laitina Lay, that from here, the fact that Rabbi Yochanan said to him, if you don't give them their salt, the Kabalech Mishapora, that we curse him straight out. Rabbi Chiya Bar Yosef, Osi Likbule Olei Latusa de Rabbana, do you think that Rabbi Chiya Bar Yosef was a pious individual, was going to put himself into a position where he would be cursed? Latusa is a curse. Elo, Reb Chiya bar Yosef Erovain Hu Diavi Lei. The circumstances behind the Reb Chiya bar Yosef case were different. We'll say we didn't see the whole picture. And now the Gemara reveals to us what was actually happening. Reb Chiya bar Yosef, a Ravon, who? What's a Ravon? He received, Rashi calls Miktsas Mois, partial payment for a large delivery. Who Savar, Reb Chiya bar Yosef thought, Kenegdai Hu Kaine. The customer has a claim to the amount of salt corresponding to the amount of money that he advanced, and he was willing to deliver that partial amount. This explanation, by the way, you can see in the Bach, Ois Aleph. So if we look together at the Bach, in the lower part of the page, in the margin of the Gemara, Aleph, Rashi Dibur Masel, Hu Savar, Kenegda Hu Kaine, Lekabo Mishapora. V'lokona kol ha-pisuk. He thought that since he received part funds, back out from that amount of salt that corresponds to the partial payment that he received, that would result in a mishapora. But not that the partial payment obligates him to deliver the full amount. V'hu haya chafetz liten keneged mashikibel. He was willing to pay or to deliver the salt corresponding to the partial payment. He wanted to back out from the rest. So that was Reb Chiya bar Abba's thinking. And now we go back to our Gemara. Let's read again from the beginning of the line. Hu savar kenegdehu kaineh. He, Reb Chiya Bar Yosef, thought that the obligation to deliver and reversal from that resulting in a curse is only kenegdo, in accordance with the value of money, with the amount of money that he received. And that amount of salt, he was willing to deliver. The Yomale Rabbi Yochanan keneged kulo hu kainen. Rabbi Yochanan informed Rabbi Yosef, you got it wrong. Partial payment obligates you on the Misha Pora level, on the curse level. If you want to avoid the curse, it obligates you to deliver the full amount that was agreed upon, even though you received only partial payment. Now this issue turns out to be a machlokes between Rav and Rabbi Yochanan. We just saw Rabbi Yochanan's point of view, and the Gemara goes on, Itmar Eirovon, this issue of Eirovon, partial payment, Rav Oimer Kenegdoi Hu Kaineh. Rav reflects the thinking of Rabbi Chiya Bar Yosef, that it locks you in, as far as a Mi Shepora is concerned, as far as the issue of avoiding a curse, it locks you in to deliver only an amount corresponding to the amount you received as payment. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Keneged Kulo Hu Kaineh, as Rabbi Yochanan saw just before, says it obligates you to deliver the full amount. Later in the Gemara, we have a little note on the side, a double-starred note, that says, Yesh Ha'orah, this means I want to point out something, that Yesh Levar Al Pi HaGemara De Kamon, we have to clarify, based on the Gemara later on, Bamel Marav Es Daito, in which context did Rav say that the partial payment is obligates only delivery of an amount corresponding to that value? Imrak b'metatlin or gam b'karka? Does he say his point of view only with regard to portables, sales of portables, or even with regard to land deals? We continue in the Gemara with a question. You notice we have a long question. Meisve. To spoil the suspense, let us tell you ahead of time that we're going to end up with the Gemara, the end of the long question, will be presenting a question on Rav. We open with a Tanaic source, and there's a trick here. We must reveal it at the outset. The source, you can see in the frame, begins with the expression, Anoisin Eirovon L'chavero. The word Eirovon at the beginning of this source is not the Eirovon mentioned in the Machlokis Rav and Rabbi Yochanan that we highlighted with a diamond. So that, just be aware that the term Eirovon up till now could be translated as a deposit or a partial payment where the balance would have to be paid later. The word Eirovon also has a meaning as a pledge, a type of, say, collateral or a pledge to follow through on something. A type of, I guarantee that I will come through on something. But the pledge doesn't represent a partial payment for a larger delivery. So with that, we'll say, disclaimer in mind, Meisve. Hanoisin Eirovon L'chavero. Someone gives someone a pledge, and he said, "V'omarlo, imani chozer bi. If I back out of this deal, ervoini mochuloch. The item with the money that I gave you as a pledge, you can keep it. I am moichel. I renounce ownership of that." Valomer and the other party says, "Imani echzor bi. If I back out, then." If I back out and I don't provide the item that we agreed for me to provide, echbo loch ervoincha, I will double the pledge that you deposited with me, that you entrusted with me. I'll give you double that amount in return. Niskaimu hatnoyim divrei Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi says that this type of these pledges or these guarantees take hold. So that if a person who is interested in buying something backs out, he says, if I back out, you can keep the pledge. He's obligated to renounce the pledge in favor of the vendor. And if the vendor backs out and doesn't want to provide the goods, he'll return to the customer the Eirovon double. And Rabbi Yossi says that they are truly obligated to that. There's a Gemara interruption here, but we'll read it straight through. Rabbi Yossi Litame. Rabbi Yossi here reflects his general legal approach to promises of this nature. Diomar Asmachta Kanya. People say things to create a sense of insurance, of assuredness on the part of the other party. That's asmachta, giving them a feeling of comfort when internally they don't really believe that they will ever come to this. In other words, in this case, neither party really thought that they weren't going to go through on the deal. So they made promises, not thinking that they would ever come to it. That's called asmachta. Is a person bound by agreements like that? So Rabbi Yossi says yes. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Dayo Shiyikne Keneged Ervoinoi. Rabbi Yehuda disagrees, and he says, "You'll look at the value of the Eirovon and of that pledge, and that's all that, technically speaking, he would be bound to. So that if the value of the pledge was correspond to 5% of the deal they agreed to, so provide 5% of the goods. But no doubling of a Ravon or renouncing of a Ravon." Omar Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, Bameh Dvorim Amurim. When do we say that the deal corresponds only to the value of the pledge? Bizman she'omar lo ervoini yikain. When he's Rashi, let's first look at Rashi across from here, a couple lines up. Bizman she'omar lo ervoini yikain yikne. I want this pledge to seal the deal. Shaloi nosna loy b'taras tchilas piron. The pledge was not put down as a deposit partial payment. Vasharol of Milvan, the balance of the payment would be like a debt that's owed. So why, in what context or in what sense was this pledge placed down? Ela b'taras she'rovon ze yiknes hakol. He put down the pledge as a deal clincher. V'holav milsian, a partial payment is not a deal clincher. So that if it were placed down as in Hebrew, where the customer said, this pledge that I'm putting down, irvoni yikon, I want this to clinch the deal. So then, according to Shimon Leal, it wouldn't have the power of clinching the entire deal, but the corresponding value of goods would have to be delivered because the pledge was placed. Avol mochar lo bayis oisode bielevzus. If there was a sale of a house or a field that was worth 1,000 zuz, 1,000 zuz is a denomination of currency. If you prefer, you could say $1,000. Upora lo mehem chomesh meoy zuz. And a partial payment was made of 500 zuz. This is the Eirovon. This is the point of in this source that has relevance to the Machlokis Rav and Rabbi Yochanan that we spoke of before. Namely, a deposit, partial payment was made. What does Rav Shimon Gamliel say? Kono. It obligates the parties to the entire deal. Umachsir lo asashar. and the balance has to be paid later. Afilu l'achar kama shanim, even if it's after many years. So in this source, what are we seeing here? We're seeing where a payment was made as a partial payment, not as merely a pledge to guarantee a deal, but it was money that was paid as partial payment. Reb Shimon Leal tells us that the deal is clinched and the balance must be paid. My love, hu hadin l'metaltalin b'distama kani lehu l'kulu. The same law would apply to portables. This source taught us an example involving a land transaction. The Gemara is making the assumption that the same would apply with regard to portables, which is the topic that Rav and Rabbi Yochanan were discussing before. We saw Rabbi Yochanan appearing initially in a case involving salt. Salt is a portable, it's not a piece of real estate. And if you make this assumption that the same would apply with regard to portables, we would then have a conclusion not like Rav. Here you see a partial payment made. Rabbi Shimon Leal says you must deliver the full amount. That is not like Rav. Rav said that a partial payment locks one in to simple partial delivery. The Gemara says, lo, that assumption isn't to be made. Metatalin bidistamo lo koni. With regard to portables, unless otherwise specified, stam means in an unspecified, unqualified deal, then it would not, the partial payment would not lock them into a full, would not lock the vendor into making a full delivery of the goods. Umayshna, what's the difference? Why in the case of partial payment for land, full delivery must be made and the balance must be paid up, and not so in the case of portables? The Gemara answers, Karka de bekaspa konile mamish, konile lekula. In the case of land transactions, as opposed to portables, cash is one of the means of clinching deals. We know that karka nikneis bekesef, b'shtar, b'chazoka, land is acquired through either a cash payment, through a contractual obligation, or through a chazoka, the use of the land as an owner would use land. Those are methods of real estate acquisitions. So that the partial payment made for the land is one of the legitimate means of clinching deals on land purchases. So though a partial amount was paid, it creates a deal clincher for the entire amount. Mitatali de lo kani ela l'gvuli mishepora. When it comes to portables and cash is paid, cash doesn't concretize the deal in a total legal sense. All the cash payment without drawing the actual article creates a mishepora situation where if one backs out, so then a curse will be imposed. So the level of let's say legal obligation created by a cash payment in with regard to portables is not the same level of deal clinching that you find by real estate. And therefore, lo kani le kule, the partial payment, the a ravon payment, does not obligate in full delivery. Rashi says across from here, lo kani le kule le kabel mishapara im nosan lo keneged ervono. If the vendor in fact provided a partial amount of goods that corresponds to the partial amount he received in payment, he will be free from a mi shepara. That's how Rav responds to Rabbi Yochanan, who responds to the question raised from the source that we saw just before. Lema ketanoi. Shall we say that we have a machlokes tanoim? In other words, the Rav and Rabbi Yochanan, partial payments, what do they accomplish? Does partial payment create full obligation, or partial payment creates obligation only corresponding to the value that was paid? Shall we say that this is an earlier Tanaic disagreement? So notice we have a long question marking. This long question will take you down about seven lines down from the top of Mem Tes Omid Aleph. The Gemara opens up with a Tanaic source dealing with a loan that was given. Someone loaned money and he received collateral, and the Shemitah year enters the picture. I'm sure most of you know that in Jewish law, when the sabbatical year passes, standard loans, without additional elements that we'll introduce shortly in the Gemara, but loans are canceled. That means the lender cannot demand payment of money that he had loaned before the Shemitah year, once the Shemitah year passes. That's a very, very general type statement, but it's sufficient as far as introduction is concerned. Now, the Gemara. Lema ketanoi. Hamalva es chavero al hamashkein. One loaned money to his friend, and in exchange he received a mashkon. Mashkon is collateral. V'nifnasa shmita. And the Shemitah year entered. Afalpi she'eno shava ela plag eino mishami divrei rabon Shimon ben Gamliel. Even though the mashkon is worth plag, half the loan, the Shemitah year, the passage of the Shemitah year does not cancel the loan, and the lender can collect after the Shemitah year. This is a law that would appear to benefit the malve. Rabbi Yehuda Anosi Omer, im hoya mashkein keneged halvaso eino mishame. If the collateral equals the value of the loan is not canceled, vim lav, and if not, mishameit. Mishame means canceled. What we just did is we gave a literal translation to the source. However, there are points that are not clear, and now the Gemara attempts to clarify. My eino mishame dekom Rav Shimon Gamliel. Rav Shimon ben Gamliel said that if a mashkon is worth only half the loan, so the lender, by virtue of the fact that he received a mashkon, is allowed to collect. Eino mishame means the loan is not canceled. He is allowed to collect after the Shemitah year. There's a pasuk that says that once the Shemitah year passes, lo yigos, you're not to pressure someone to pay you back a loan that you're collecting at the outset after the Shemitah year has passed. Being that you received a form of collateral, in your mind's eye, it's as if the lender collected the loan. He got collateral for it. He got paid for it. So that after the Shemitah year, if he goes to the borrower and says, where's the loan? In effect, it would be a type of, let's say, resale of the collateral that he got, giving it back to the lender, to the borrower, in exchange for cash. I'm making that point because Rashi alludes to it, the prohibition of lo yigos, to make an initial claim of payback, an initial claim of the loan after the Shemitah year, that would be prohibited. But where you already received payment for the loan, i.e. where you got a mashkon collateral, so then it's okay to ask for your loan money back after the Shemitah year. what we just said is a very general statement. Here we have to get into details. Rav Shimon Leal said that if you got a mashkon, collateral, corresponding to part of the value of the loan that you loaned out, eino mishame. So the Gemara says, ma'eino mishame to Rav Shimon Leal. What does that mean, that the loan is not canceled? Ilema kenegdoi. That kenegdo means corresponding to the value of the collateral. If you had laid out $1,000 and you received a form of collateral worth $500, and Reb Shimon Leal is saying, well, after the Shemitah, you can collect $500. That's kenegdo. So if that's Reb Shimon Leal's opinion, what is Reb Yehuda Anasi's opinion? Reb Yehuda Anasi said that if the value of the mashkon corresponded to loan, you can collect, and if not, mishame, you cannot collect. Reb Shimon Leal says it's not canceled, and Reb Yehuda Anasi, under the same circumstances, would say it is canceled. So what does that mean? Michlal, Reb Yehuda Anasi sofar, would we then infer from the fact that Reb Shimon Leal, who was working for the benefit of the lender, and yet the lender collect only part, well then what does that leave you to think about Reb Yehuda Anasi? Lahach pal ganami mishame. And even the amount corresponding to the mashkon that was worth only part of the loan, even that amount the lender would not be able to collect. Just to repeat, if Reb Shimon Leal, who operates for the benefit of the lender, yet restricts the lender to collecting the amount corresponding to the mashkon, then Reb Yehuda Anasi would be telling us that the lender cannot collect even that amount, being that the mashkon was not the value of the entire loan. Well, then alo mashkon denokin lo malei. We're at the top of the Mem Tes Amud Aleph. According to Reb Yehuda Anasi, if the lender received a mashkon only partial value of the loan, why did he take it? What benefit was there for him in taking it? Elolav Shma Mine. Rather, we must conclude, my Eino Mishame to Homer Shuman Ben Leal. What did Eino Mishame mean? When Reb Shumo says he got a mashkon that was worth part of the loan, when Shemitah year goes by, the loan is not canceled. What did he mean by that? Eino mishameit bekulo. That means it doesn't. The passage of the Shemitah year does not cancel the entire loan. Or, simply put, the lender has a right to collect his entire loan. Based on what? Based on the mashkon that was valued only corresponding to part of the loan. So the lender received a mashkon worth part of the loan. Lender is entitled, by virtue of that, to collect the entire loan. Umay mishame tigom Reb Yehuda Anasi. And under the same circumstances, we had a collateral worth part of the loan. Reb Yehuda Anasi said the passage of the Shemitah year cancels. What does he mean it cancels? What can he not collect? Lahach palga de lo nokid ole mashkon. He cannot collect that additional part, that additional amount that was beyond the value of the mashkon. But as far as the amount corresponding to the value of the mashkon itself, even Reb Yehuda Anasi acknowledges, you are allowed to collect. What is the point of difference here between Reb Shimon Leal and Reb Yehuda Anasi? Ubahalkam ifli, and it's in the following that they disagree. The Reb Shimon Leal savar keneged kulo hu kaine, that the partial amount that was given in the form of the mashkon obligates the borrower to pay the full amount back. That's similar to Reb Yochanan's position. The partial payment, the down payment, obligates you to full delivery. And Reb Yehuda Anasi sofar kenegdo hu kaine, and Reb Yehuda Anasi reflects the opinion of Rav that the borrower who gave a mashkon worth part of the loan, that enables the lender to collect that amount of the loan for which he received the mashkon, but not the full amount. So the Machlokas Rabbi Yochanan and Rav, which was in a Machlokas Amoroim, would seem to be a Machlokas Tanoim. Shall we say that? Lo. The Gemara rejects this. My Einom, and here the Gemara is going to go back to something that was suggested earlier, but brushed off. My Einom Mishame Dum Rav Shuman Gamliel. What did he mean when he said the loan is not canceled in the case that someone, that a lender received a mashkon valued only part of the loan? The Shemitah doesn't cancel. What did he mean? Lahach palga denoket ole mashkon. It doesn't cancel the amount of the loan that corresponds to the mashkon itself. That's all the malve, that's all the lender would be able to collect after the Shemitah year. Now, at this point, we might note then that we don't have any Tana that reflects Rabbi Yochanan's opinion. Rabbi Shimon Leo was the most, we'll say, the most forthcoming as far as enabling the loan to be collected, but even he is limiting you to part of the loan. Well, if that's Rabbi Shimon Leo's opinion, what about Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, who appeared in the same source? Does that then leave us to conclude that Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi holds that even the amount of the loan corresponding to the mashkon will be cancelled by the passage of the Shemitah year? Why did he bother taking the mashkon in the first place? Why did the lender take the mashkon if it wasn't going to enable him to continue with the right to collect after the Shemitah year? The Gemara answers, Lezichroin Dvorem Biamo. He took the mashkon only as a means of reminding him to try to collect his loan before the end of the Shemitah year. But as far as the mashkon enabling him to collect even that part, that amount of the loan after the Shemitah year, no, he is not entitled to collect any of it. Because the Shemitah year cancels in such a case where the mashkon was only opposite or only corresponding to part of the loan. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.